Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and thank you for tuning into my broadcast today. Actually, you didn't tune in. You just pressed a little arrow on your computer screen, probably. I hope it's really nice in your area. It's a little cloudy here in the Puget Sound area today, which isn't too bad because we've been having some pretty warm weather. So it's kind of nice to see a few clouds today, little cooler breezes and that kind of thing. In my last message, I talked about what to do when you fail. And someone I know challenged me about the idea of restoration. And they were concerned about the idea that maybe before, you know, maybe someone could fall and lose something that they had spiritually from before the fall. And so I want to talk today about how to find restoration when it's needed. I answered this person, and I assured them that God can indeed bring them back as strong as they were before they fell. And I believe that. I believe that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think, like Ephesians 3:20 and 21 says. But I was challenged by this to go a little bit deeper in this message, so I'm going to talk this time about restoration, especially as it applies to someone who has been caught in something that has been pretty severe or has become public. I have been no stranger to this type of thing in ministry. I've been very close to some leaders in public ministry who have fallen in very public ways, and let me tell you, it is a very ugly thing to behold. And I could go into all the gory details, but I won't, because I think that sometimes we get a little too fascinated with some of that type of information. But suffice it to say, the incidents took each person completely out of full-time ministry, and it was very sad to watch this happen. In at least two of the situations, these folks never found restoration back into the ministry, which is a very sad story. But what I want to do is to look at a passage of Scripture that I want to develop in such a way as to give you hope if you have either fallen or need some convincing to fall, because an ounce of prevention often is worth a pound of cure, as they say. But let's go ahead and look at the passage that we're going to be focusing on during this particular podcast. It's found in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1. And this is what it says. Brothers and sisters, if someone is overtaken in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently, but watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. Now, I want to break down some of these words because they help to shed some light on what we're going to be looking at. It says, if someone is overtaken in a sin. That word overtaken means to be surprised into. And it's important to realize that none of us are impervious to temptation. And the idea is that when you accept the Lord, you turn from your old way of life and you open yourself to new ways. And many of us are so thankful for being brought out of the trap of our fallenness that we wouldn't go back for all the tea in China, just to use an old idiom. But that doesn't mean that we don't sin. In fact, James says we all stumble in many ways. That's James chapter 3 and verse 2. And 1 John 1:8 says, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. So that kind of defeats the idea that we're all perfect saints. What does it mean to be overtaken or surprised into sin? Does that just mean that they got caught? Well, what I think it means is that someone got caught in something significant enough to cause issues in a congregation. In other words, it's a situation where someone has either confessed to something that they did that was influential enough to cause a stir, in the body, or their failure was discovered in such a way that it's having an impact on whichever local congregation the person was a part of. Or it could just be that it was just very devastating to them to realize the trap that they fell into, okay? But it's something significant. It's something big. It's something that has caused a large stumble in the person's life. It could be someone that just came forward with really prominent failure in their lives. That's what I'm trying to say. So I don't think this is a nitpicky situation where everybody's being scrutinized all the time, you know, like someone pigged out on two hot fudge sundaes or something, you know, a little gluttony there. I don't think it's that kind of scenario. I think it's the kind of scenario where someone has done something that has really impacted their life and maybe others in a very negative way, and probably the congregation as well. And it's having some strong repercussions on their soul and those around them. Maybe it's their family, maybe another person in the congregation, but it's something that has hurt their standing, something that makes others suspicious of them perhaps, and something needs to be done in order to reestablish their standing in the congregation. That's what I believe this is talking about. Or someone has come to the leadership of the congregation, the pastor, the elders, the council, and confessed something that has really hurt their relationship with the Lord. And the people who are considered to be spiritual are the ones who are being instructed to put this person back together again. Now, let me say that this requires the cooperation of the person who has fallen. In other words, it has to be someone who wants to be restored. If the person doesn't want, you know, doesn't give a rip about it, then there's not much you can do for them. They have to want to be put back together rather than just being nonchalant about this incident or this issue, the sin, in other words. So let's break down some of the words in this passage that will help us a little. So they've been caught in a fault, the verse says, and the word fault there is periptoma, and it literally means a side slip. It happens to the best, by the way, and interestingly enough, it carries with it the idea of a broken bone. Now, I want you to remember that for later because we're going to talk about that. But that's what puts this kind of a serious tone on this. It's more than eating too much chocolate unless you're 500 pounds and you can't stop eating chocolate. You know, it's not like that. Like a little slip or a little problem. But it's something that has caused some breakage. Most likely in relationships. The obvious thing would be an adulterous affair, especially with someone in the congregation or the local gathering, or a serious lie that's been purported, or bilking someone out of serious funds, or many other things. You can let your imagination go wild on this. But it's something that, for the good of the body, needs to be addressed. So let's say that you're the person who needs this kind of restoration, just in case. What do you need to do in order to get back online with the Lord? Well, first of all, you need help. Don't do it alone. Once again, verse 20 says, "Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently." In other words, it's saying that this requires a group effort. It's not necessarily a thing that can be confessed and forgotten about. It's the kind of thing where you need help with it. I talked several weeks ago about the song Desperado and how there are too many Christians out there riding fences, as it were. You know, they're not looking for help. They're just getting along all by themselves. And this verse is saying, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual, restore such a one. So if you're struggling or you have struggled with something that's keeping you from moving ahead in the Lord, your spiritual growth has stunted and you can't seem to get past it, time to call in reinforcements to help you deal with it. Or maybe you've been caught in something that's very serious and is causing difficulty in the local congregation you're a part of, your marriage, or some relationship that's close, and some spiritual fellows or females offer to help you with it. My advice is don't turn them down. We often get into trouble when we try to handle big issues in our lives on our own. We need the help of a strong brother or a sister to help us get past these kinds of things. One of the things that causes us to get into trouble is when we try to handle everything ourselves. And we often just don't have the insight or the strength within us to deal with it. And it's telling the spiritual people of the congregation to be the ones who help. You who are spiritual. What does that mean? You who are spiritual. I think it means that it requires folks who have a proven track record of spiritual anointing in helping the fallen. In other words, in many situations, you know, larger churches have trained counselors to help people with large issues in their lives. And other cases, there are ministries within the church, prayer groups, self-help groups. Even if you have to go out of your own fellowship to another church that has some of these groups, it's okay to do that. In fact, it is vitally important to invite folks into our lives in order to deal with things that we have failed at to be able to handle on our own. That's why support groups within churches are so important. It puts people together who have grappled with similar issues. If that's the route that the Lord is leading you, and there isn't any help of that nature, maybe there's a church near you that you can sit with. But don't try to handle it alone if it's something that's been dragging you down. It's vitally important that you find help with the struggle that you have been having. So that's number one. Let spiritual people into your life to find help. Secondly, make certain qualified to help. It says, you who are spiritual, restore such a one. The question is what is the qualification for someone who's spiritual? I think that the place to start is with someone who is humble. In other words, they're not out advertising it. Truly spiritual people tend to be a bit self-effacing. People who don't go around boasting about how spiritual they are. I would say that spiritual people, as defined by this verse, are compassionate, loving, caring, sincere, engaging, warm, honest, and interested in your struggle. They tend to be people who have wisdom and knowledge about the Bible, but aren't showy about it. Those are people you can often trust to be helpful in restoration. They are people who have an obvious relationship with Jesus. And I can't give you any more tips on that other than just to say they act like Jesus. They care like Jesus. They serve like Jesus. They're people who are non-condemning, firm, but non-condemning. Those are the types of people you want helping you to get over a difficulty in your life. And I can't say this isn't a painful process, but it is a process. And you see, we'll have pain if we don't deal with these types of issues in our lives as well. So it's important to get the help that we need in order to get over the pain that we have over issues that we have created for ourselves to have to deal with. So the second thing is to make sure the person or persons who are helping you are the caliber of people who are qualified to help you. That is deeply important. And thirdly, drill instructors need not apply, okay? Drill instructors, Army sergeants, you know, Army captains, you know, people who are forceful and controlling. You know, the word says to restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness and meekness, lest you yourselves be tempted. And I'm not sure what the temptation would be for someone who is helping to restore someone, but I sense that it might be pride. I am the one who is spiritual enough to put Humpty Dumpty back together again because of my astute wisdom and my spiritual knowledge. You see, and pride may not seem like that bad of a sinful attitude to you, but I have to say that pride is the sin that caused Satan to fall. Isaiah 14, verses 12 through 14 says, how are you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? For you have said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Okay, pride, that is one of the worst things that can inhabit your soul because it puts you in a place where you feel as though you're either equal to or above God. Okay, it's important to see that. Humility is probably the most key component in helping someone to restore their hearts and their lives, restoration in their being. Not just for them, but for the person aiding them, because truthfully, all their help is doing is facilitating the Lord's work in their lives. It's not our work, it's the Lord's work. And that's the best way to keep ourselves humble in helping others deal with huge issues in their lives. Jesus, in instructing the disciples about the work that they are doing for him, told them when he said, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and be planted in the sea, and it will obey you. He followed that up with, when you have done everything you were told to do, you should say, we are but unworthy servants. We have only done our duty. That's found in Luke 17, 6 through 10. Okay? He's saying, you know, you can do amazing things through faith. You know, you can cause a tree to uproot itself and go plant itself in the bottom of the ocean. You know, that's the kind of power that I am investing in you. Not literally, although who knows, you know. But I mean, there's power in what God and Jesus have invested in our hearts and in our faith life and all of that. And so Jesus is saying, you can do these amazing things. This is the kind of power I want to give to you. But when you've done all of that, all the things you were told to do, you should say, I'm just an unworthy servant. I've only done my duty. Okay? So we need to understand that there has to be humility in our hearts. We have to understand that we come to people as servants, not as masters. That is so critically important. So, in closing, I just want to say something about this passage that has been misunderstood down through recent years. There is a myth that when a bone heals, that it's stronger than it was before. Remember I said that word fault or peripteroma in the Greek at the beginning has something to do with a broken bone. It's like setting a broken bone. That's what somebody who is restoring somebody is doing. It's like they're resetting their broken bones. You know, they're in a bad situation, so they're putting them back together. So some folks have actually claimed that if you've been overtaken in a sin and been healed of it, that you'll be a stronger person a result. Okay? And that is simply not true. During the initial healing of a broken bone, it may become more mineralized for a short season, but ultimately it will become equal in strength to the surrounding bone. This is according to Dr. Terry Amaral, the director of pediatric orthopedic surgeon at Montefiore Medical Center in the Bronx, New York. So it's not necessarily true that you go through a season of sin and are restored and that you will automatically be stronger or less tempted the next time around. I think that could be a trap of Satan to make you think like you're invincible. No one is invincible. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. He doesn't care if you've fallen before or not. You're still subject to his wiles, regardless of whether you've been restored from something or not. So I want to encourage you, if there's something you've fallen into and are having a hard time getting back on track with the Lord, there is hope. But don't ever think that you're infallible, okay? And you need to seek out help in finding restoration in order to become a fully functioning disciple once again. So, once again, you need help if you've fallen in a significant way. And you need to determine that before God. You know, there's no meter that anybody can produce in order to, you know, tell you whether your sin is strong enough to need help or not. You should know that yourself. You ought to be able to know whether or not what you've done or what you may have fallen into is a strong enough sin that requires some associate who's full of faith to come alongside of you and support you and pray you through it and help you with your struggle. Okay? So as we close, what I want to do is I want to pray. And if you're listening in right now, I just want you to bow your heart and pray along with me, and let's hand this over to the Holy Spirit right now. Father, we thank you for the provision that you have made to help us with when we fall. We thank you that you have provided a means of restoration in our lives through your grace and through the body of believers in our local areas. We ask that you would give us grace in any area of our lives where we have fallen, where we've transgressed or given place to destructive sin in our lives. And we ask that you would restore us in any way that we might need help right now. If you deem that we need someone in our lives to help us get over something we may have done that needs outside support and help with in our recovery, please lead us to that person or to those persons who can help us. We thank you that you're a God who heals and restores. You are not one who judges harshly or vanquishes us when we stumble. We accept and receive the love, the forgiveness, and the cleansing that you have to offer us this day. Amen. Well, I want to thank you once again for listening to my podcast. I do want to mention that these podcasts do cost a little to make available to you. And if you're listening and you would like to become a partner with me, the Running Pastor, it would be wonderful if you would consider a one-time or perhaps a monthly gift to this ministry. I am running in my local area to share the gospel with individuals whom the Lord leads me to, as well as that I'm running locally across the distance of the United States from Ocean Shores, Washington, to New York, New York, for Alzheimer's Association. So I'm not actually running that distance. I'm running the distance locally that will add up to those miles. I'm about to enter Montana right at the moment. But you can go to my website and give a tax-deductible gift at runningpastor.net/donate, D-O-N-A-T-E. Once again, that's runningpastor.net/donate. And just find the donate button there, and you can give a gift to the Running Pastor nonprofit there. Once again, it's a tax-deductible gift, and I would appreciate greatly if you could do that. And if you would like to contribute to Alzheimer's Association, there's a button to do that there as well. So I want to thank you once again for tuning in, listening to my podcast, and there will be more podcasts coming up. I'd love it if you shared these podcasts with your friends. I've been getting more and more listens as time goes on, and it's really exciting, and I'd like to see this really begin to branch out, and I really want to take this nonprofit to greater heights. So looking for public speaking opportunities, all those kinds of things. So if you can help me, I would love it. That would really be great. Okay, and so I do appreciate you listening in. Please keep your eyes open for my next message. They'll be coming up soon. And as always, as I say, good day and good running.